Our opening hymn for today is hymn number 575. Please stand. Our service begins on page 15. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At this time, I will direct you to your propers insert as we speak together the intro at half verse by half verse. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Glory in his holy name. Seek the Lord and his strength. Remember the wondrous works that he has done. O offspring of Abraham, his servant. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. The Lord be with you. We pray together the collect of the day as it's found on your propers insert. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love, that receiving what you have promised, we may love what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading, as well as our sermon text for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, comes from Deuteronomy chapter 7. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession, out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people, that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I will once again direct you to your small catechism insert as we continue our confession on the Ten Commandments. What is the fourth commandment?
Honor your father and your mother.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them.
What is the fifth commandment?
You shall not murder.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need.
What is the sixth commandment?
You shall not commit adultery.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we lead a sexually pure and decent life in what we say and do, and husband and wife love and honor each other.
The epistle comes from Romans, chapter 8. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net
that was thrown into the sea, and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore, and sat down and sorted the good in containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out, and separate the evil from the righteous, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, Yes. And he said to them, Therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house, who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the gospel of the Lord. At this time, I will direct you to page 22 of your hymnal as we confess together our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Our next hymn is number 514. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was in grade school, we had this habit of picking teams at recess. You know how it goes. You know, two captains are chosen, and everybody else lines up, and one by one, players for each team get picked. And we know all too well that it's always the best players, the most athletic, or whoever's, you know, particularly good at that sport was always picked first. And so after all the good players get picked, then it's the mediocre players, and then it's all the bad players, and then it was me standing there all by myself. I was the last picked occasionally, not all the time, but occasionally. But it's the most embarrassing of all, right? The last one picked. It's the one where both team captains actually say, I don't even want that guy because he's going to be a detriment to the team. Instead of being the MVP, the most valuable player, this person is essentially what is a MWP, the most worthless player. Well, God is more than just a team's captain. He is almighty. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is the one who created the universe and everything we know and everything that we see. And this is what he says about who he picks, about who he chooses. He says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession, out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." These words were originally spoken to the people of old, the people of Israel, after God had saved them from slavery. Unless his people have any doubt about who they actually are, God tells them, "I have chosen you." Well, you know, they did have to do that wilderness wandering thing. So maybe, you know, God doesn't really treasure them as much as he says. And that's typically what Israel did over and over again. They kept doubting God's goodness. And so God constantly brought them back into this understanding that he is a good God and he is going to work for them and he is going to bless them. And so he points out all of the wonderful things he's already done for them, especially that of saving them from slavery. Evil King Pharaoh, and he's oppressing the Egyptians, and God saves them by leading them through the Red Sea. And even when they're in the wilderness and they don't have any food around, what does God do? But he makes the manna appear in the wilderness. He reminds them that he has already a perfect track record of showing them compassion, of showing them mercy, of saving them from their enemies. And so he shows that he's not just a God who can talk very nice words, but he actually does very nice things for his people. Israel is God's treasured possession, whom he continues to pour out steadfast love for. But while these words were originally intended for Israel, they still ring true for God's church, because you are the new Israel. And so they can equally be applied to us. It means the Lord has chosen us to be his treasured possession. And lest our minds lead us to doubt and to think that that's not true, let's look at God's track record. He saved us from slavery. Certainly, maybe not slavery over a king like Pharaoh, and maybe not from oppression to that degree, but we did have sin that we served before he called us into faith. We had to obey our sinful passions. We had to do things that were not God-pleasing, just like a slave driver who drives slaves to do what they do not want to do. And how does he save us from that? He leads us not to the Red Sea, but to the baptismal waters. He leads us to those waters that took away our sin and took away Satan, our slave master, from over us. And in fact, Jesus conquers him with his death and his blood. The Exodus event, right? The Passover angel flies over the land of Egypt and strikes down all of Egypt's firstborn. Well, what happens? But God's firstborn son gets struck down that way we might be saved.
What's more, but we still kind of feel like even though we're saved from this slavery thing, we're still wandering around this wilderness. We still have all of this sin to deal with in this life, which honestly, if you know, it needs not saying, but we're dealing with a lot of that in 2020. But what does God give us in the midst of this wilderness of sin? But he gives us his very body and his very blood to eat and to drink. It's not manna, but it's Jesus with us. God has set you free. He has a perfect track record of showing you compassion and steadfast love, and he will continue to do it. But remember, we started with recess, right? Remember how at recess, when you got picked, you know, at the front of all the picks, and you thought, wow, I must be pretty good. I must be pretty good at this sport. I must be pretty athletic. Maybe I'm more talented than the rest of these guys. Maybe I'm more worthy, or at least I'm more something, right? But that's not the way that God's situation works. You see, God is quick to remind Israel, he's quick to remind you, that it's not because of any strength or greatness or one reason or another that is within you. The only reason that God has chosen you is because of his love. That's it. Nothing worthy in ourselves, but just love. Because if it was based on ability or moral character or holiness of our own, we wouldn't be chosen at all. We would be a detriment to the team. For all those times that we contemplated the right thing or the wrong thing, and then we still chose the wrong thing anyway because it seemed better for whatever reason, we should be left behind by God. For all the times when we were given that opportunity to serve our neighbor in love and to be selfless, but instead we thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what seems right for me, to serve myself. We deserve to be left behind. God has given us chance after chance after chance to be faithful, and for whatever reason, we continue to worship ourselves and our pleasure and our happiness. And so we deserve to be left behind. We're screw-ups. We're the most worthless player. And God would do well not to pick us at all. But that's not what he does. Even though that's what we deserve, that's not what he does. Because even in spite of our sin, he loves you too much to do that. He knows your shortcomings. He knows your sins. He knows your selfishness. He knows that you have no value on your own, and he chooses to overlook all of that and instead send you his son. Because Jesus gives you value. I don't know if any of you like to go to garage sales or secondhand shops or things of that nature. You know, what mostly happens is people put all of their garbage out for sale, right? Things that they don't want anymore. But what is the value of the thing that is being sold? It's whatever is the purchase price. If I'm selling it for $5, well, that thing, even if it is worthless to me, it's worth $5. And the same rings true when we think about what God has done for us in Christ. We are worthless. We are trash. We are garbage just to be peddled out to the rest of the world or thrown on the junk heap. But what gives us value? That Jesus is willing to give the most precious thing in this entire world. His blood. He pays for you with his innocence. He pays for you with his blood. He pays for you with his death. And by it, he announces that you are forgiven. And if you have no sins, it means you are valuable. It means you are worth something. And so you are. You are a treasure that is hidden in a field, and Jesus gives everything to have you. You're a pearl of great value, and Jesus would do anything that way you might be with him forever. This is the Savior we have. A Savior who makes us treasure, even though we don't deserve it. And he does this for a purpose. It's not just so we can do whatever we want. It's, you know, if someone calls me a treasure, what I want to do is I want to live up to that thing that he's called me, right? I don't want to just go ahead and keep being the worthless thing I was before. I want to live up to the value that he has given me. As our text says, it says that we are chosen that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. That we might live lives worthy of being chosen first. That we might live holy and blameless just as Jesus was holy and blameless. My friends, even in spite of our weakness, even in spite of our sin, God has made you his treasured people. He has chosen you out of all of the unbelievers in the world. He chose you to be his people. He chose you to receive his goodness. He chooses you to receive his mercy. And even today, he chooses you to feast on his Son's body and blood that way you might be forgiven. You have all the goodness, all the riches, all the mercy of God both in this life and in the life to come. Because Jesus has paid for you with his death, with his blood, and with his resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray to the Lord.
Amen.
And that you would be kept from error and delivered from temptation. Let us pray to the Lord. That we may receive with faith the Lord's body and blood today, and by this holy communion be forgiven of our sins, strengthened in faith, and equipped for his service, glorifying God with our words and prayers. Let us pray to the Lord.
Amen.
Holy God, mighty Lord, endless in your mercy and eternal in your reign, hear the prayers of your people who cry to you in their need, and who plead to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our service continues on page 24. The Lord be with you.
Remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Christ will strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy your sin.
Please stand. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
The Lord be with you.
up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Please be seated for our closing hymn, number 517.